we did. We'll get to that shortly.
Oh, g'day, folks. How we doing out there? And welcome to episode 46 of the Golf Days Australia podcast. I am joined once again by my esteemed co-hosts, Nate and Double Par. How are we, gents?
I just want Christmas to be over already. The amount of Christmas parties. I apologise to everyone out there for the delay. We've been drunk for a couple of weeks, I feel like.
The fuck, yeah, Steve-O, was that someone's? What's that Christmas cheer in your entry? What'd you call it?
I know, right? Hey, you can tell it's Christmas time. Steve-O is into that. Oh,
mate, I'm on the wind down, massively on the wind down here towards finishing up work for the year. I got one day left, and I'm out. I'm done. I got 3 weeks off. I'm looking forward to getting plenty of golf in over the Christmas holidays. Hopefully, we don't get too much of a restriction or shutdowns or anything like that with this goddamn worldwide pandemic happening at the moment. Thanks, Northern Beaches. Appreciate your assistance.
It should be a fine if we mention COVID for the rest of the night, I reckon. This is a COVID-free podcast. Fuck COVID.
Yes, fuck Manly. Fuck Manly. Fuck Manly.
Fuck Manly. Star Trek.
Yes.
On the note of Star Trek, we are sponsored by Cobra Puma. Golf Dint Putters session set, as we hear some beers cracking in the background there, and Net Return Australia, and we are broadcasting to all good major podcasting services. Remember to smash that follow button and give it, hit us up with a 5-star review where you can. Well, gents, we had some awesome golf happening over the last couple of weeks. We haven't been able to get to last week's worth of golf, but a couple of weeks worth of golf that we're going to head through this evening. I suppose headlined by the US Women's Open, and the Race to Dubai was also on as well. And we had a couple other bits and pieces there, the CME Group Tour Championship of the LPGA and the PNC as well. So lots to get through tonight. Anything noteworthy to talk about before we get into it?
PNC, that's that, like, the school group, yeah, where all the parents.
Yeah, parents. That's what it reminds me of.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Is that actually a professional tournament? I was thinking about that today. Actually get prize money?
Look, let's wait till we cover it, because by then Steve can research that answer.
Fantastic. Because these blokes would have to go up.
Oh, there'd have to be prize money in it. There'd have to be prize money in it. It's televised across the world. So
I don't reckon Charlie's giving up his amateur status at 11. I don't reckon.
I wouldn't call it a professional event. It'd be a pro-am. Let's call it a pro-am.
we did
have some cracking golf over the last couple of weeks, and we had the 75th US Women's Open that happened, not the weekend just gone, the weekend before. So let's get through a bit of the golf. So wrap it up, courtesy of sessionset.com, the best beer subscription service in Australia, as voted by us. Let's get into the 75th US Women's Open. Some awesome action. Aileen Kim birdied the last three holes in the final round to make a 5-stroke comeback and take the win by 1 stroke. In what was actually her first LPGA major event as well. World number one, Jin Young Ko, came home strong, but it wasn't enough. Kind of redeemed myself there with that tip. Unfortunately, she didn't get through, though. First round leader, Amy Ko, played on with a bit of a heavy heart after her father-in-law passed away.
Amy Olsen.
Amy Olsen. Yep. What did I have that written in there? Typo. So father-in-law passed away suddenly on the Saturday. Torrential wind and rain suspended plays or play on Sunday as well, and the final round was postponed to the Monday. With the win, Kim is eligible to accept immediate membership on the LPGA Tour as well. Gents, any takes from you gents on the US Women's Open?
Just the women were striping it. Like, they were in tough conditions. That wind and that weather, it was absolutely freezing over there. They were rugged up on the Monday. There was earmuffs as big as any earmuffs I've ever seen before on some of those girls. And they were they were playing great golf. It obviously played really hard. Only 4 of them shot under par for the entire week. But it was just good to see the girls playing and kind of having that stage to themselves on that weekend. The only, you know, it was a shame that the weather delay moved it to a Monday, because they would have had a much bigger probably viewing over there in the States on a Sunday. But moving to a Monday, they probably lost a few viewers, but just some great golf. You know, it come down to it. Kim was solid, three birdies to finish, and just did her thing and kind of closed out everybody else there. Nobody could kind of catch it. It was one of those hard days to make birdies. So
she started the day at plus one, five strokes behind the leader, Anaka Shibuno. She made the turn in three under. She dropped shots at 10 and 11 to fall back to even overall. Her comeback started with a 9-foot birdie on the par 3 16th, followed by a dialed in 8-iron approach for a 3-foot birdie at 17, and capped around with a 7-foot birdie on 18. Gave a solid fist pump and then knuckles with the caddy. And such a cool sight to see someone win on a major debut.
And she did all of that with a mask on the entire time.
Yes. Yeah. So, I don't know what was going on with the mask the entire time, but
I think she said she was wanting to protect others at all times and making sure that she, you know, it wasn't about her getting it. It was obviously that she wanted to look after others, which I thought was a great answer and good on her. But I was just how uncomfortable that would be, I reckon, to play 4 days straight with that mask on. It would be so tough. So for her to come out the other side and to win it was awesome. After Amy Olsen, after everything she'd gone through and she's been close and just can't get it done, like I was really hoping that she was going to get it done. She shot one over in that last round, but she played well considering everything that would have been going on in her head that week.
Yeah. Any other takeaways from the US Women's Open?
Gabby Ruffles.
Oh, Gabby did all right. Gabby Ruffles. Yeah. Fortunately, not the top amateur.
No. Though.
So there was another amateur that beat her, which was
the amateurs beat real well.
You know, it was good to see Gabby up there though. Gabriella Ruffles, did you notice on the leaderboard?
Look, it's just Gabby.
She
shot a 76 in that round three as well. So probably the round that she'll probably look back on there. You know, that was the tougher out of all the days. But amazing result, amazing year for Gab.
You think she'd have to go pro, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not far away. It can't be far away for sure.
I mean, at tie 13th, she would have got 100-odd grand prize money if she had have been a pro. You can't be turning that money down, can you?
Yeah, it's crazy. You just got to, I guess, weigh up of what she wants to do and the events, the entries that she gets in. I guess there's a lot of pressure when you go pro, so it just depends where she is with her life and what she wants to do next, what the next step is. But she's got a big future ahead of her, and you know, from that tennis background, if they're not playing golf for that long, it's just incredible.
Yeah.
I tell you what, the smiling Cinderella, but she was, you know, overnight leader Shibuno, Hanako, she just looks like she's having fun. She's always like literally smiling Cinderella is what they call her. And it was cool watching her play, and she sunk a bomb on the 18th to birdie it as well. And, you know, she just laughed and it looked like she was just so happy to be out there. So, and that was her first ever US Women's Open. She obviously won the first ever major that she played in. And now she, you know, had a really good result at the first ever US Women's Open for her.
Very good. All right. Well, let's get into the QBE shootout. So Matt Kuchar and Harris English cruised to an unprecedented third QBE shootout title after shattering records. So the most successful pairing at the PGA Tour event, thanks to a 9-stroke victory, adding to their 2013 and 2016 wins. Defending champions Rory Sabatini and Kevin Tway finished second alongside Mackenzie Hughes and Lanto Griffin. And Sean O'Hare and Kevin Na also in there as well. Billy Horschel and Brennan Todd, Tony Finau, Cameron Champ, Louis Oosthuizen and Bubba Watson were 2 strokes further back at 26 under also. So, a bit of a wrap up there on the first few places. Lots of big names in there paired up. It was pretty cool over that weekend to watch a little bit of that. I was watching most of the women, so I didn't actually get to see too much of the QBE.
I didn't even know it was on. I had no idea this event was on. I don't know how it disappeared from my radar. I don't know about you guys. I didn't even know. We were talking about the US Women's Open having the whole thing to themselves. I didn't know the QB was there, let alone presented by Greg Norman. Greg Norman was the host of it or whatever. Had no idea until I saw something on Greg Norman's page about it.
Yeah, so when we were chatting about it last, I was like, no, I'm sure there's PGA golf this weekend. And it just is obviously not mainstream publicized. I don't understand why, but there's some big names just there that I've mentioned.
Is there any FedEx points up for grabs for that?
Come on, DP, this is your area.
It's an absolute great question. But I'll tell you what, the old, what's this thing called? The app. The app hasn't even updated. I didn't even know. I've not watched any golf, eh? Like dead set, it's been Christmas party after Christmas party after Christmas party. So,
Guess what they won? What do you think they won cash wise?
Couple hundred grand.
For an event that we never heard of.
Yeah, half a mil each.
Yeah, pretty much. It was just under $1 million.
Oh,
what do I win for that?
You knew that already.
No, I didn't. But I know that they shot a minus 37. Was it a, what was it? What was the format? Was it a foursomes? Was it a fucking Ambrose?
Hey, this is the part of the podcast where if a casual listener tunes in right now, they are going, what are these guys on about?
I don't even know what. I'm looking at it. There's individual scores.
Yeah.
Sabatini did something. Before. Who cares?
Before it's all about the US Women's Open and a little bit about the race to Dubai. We'll get onto that in a sec. But
only because fucking Reed fell over. I so wish Reed had a bloody won that tournament. Spoiler alert.
Oh, let's get into that one, though. So the final tournament, the race to Dubai, was also that week. The DP Double Par World Tour Championship. That's what it's called, right? I'm pretty sure that's what it is, the Double Par World Tour Championship.
Sponsored.
Got to give back. Got to give back to my fans, Steve. All these monies that I win, I just give it back to the golfing fraternity.
And all those fans are in Dubai.
Tell me Lee Westwood won a box of pinnacles signed by you.
Just don't Google DP World images.
All right. So, yeah, the final tournament in the Race to Dubai, the DP World Tour Championship. So Lee Westwood picked up his second career Race to Dubai title, beating off a pretty strong field with Matthew Fitzpatrick in second and Patrick Screed in third place. So Matt Fitzpatrick took out the tournament itself with Westwood in second, Hovland and Reed in a tie for third. It was so good watching Patrick Screed crumbling on Sunday.
You know, poor old Patrick Reed, right? Lee Westwood played nearly double the events to beat him by 20 points for the race to Dubai. Lee Westwood played 15 tournaments for Race to Dubai ranking points, and Pat Reed played 8. So, yeah, pretty crazy there and how close it was. And Matt Fitzpatrick played 10, so Lee Westwood played 5 more than him, but... You know, he got him by 18 points and took it home.
Yeah. So what did he needed to come second, didn't he, to take out the race to Dubai, Patrick Screed?
Yeah. Reed needed to come second and Westwood needed to finish outside the four, I think. There was a whole bunch of math happening. And
yeah, but it was cool. It came down to the wire, which was so completely – that's the way the FedEx used to work, right? It used to be whoever, there was two winners. There would be a winner like when Rose won and Tiger won or whatever, when the FedEx happened and Tiger won that tournament. He didn't win the whole FedEx that year. So whereas we've moved on to the different where it's the staggered start and the winner of that event, DJ this year, won the FedEx. So they still do it in the old school way. So it was actually quite exciting coming down to the end because there was all these different changes happening and there was a race within the race. Obviously, Matt Fitzpatrick is trying to win the tournament but also trying to win the race to Dubai. Lee Westwood's stuck and he's in the clubhouse just watching it kind of all unfold. So, yeah, it was a cool event.
I actually liked it that way. I did like it that way better than the FedEx Cup as it is this year, or as it was.
Yeah, I think if you know it's going to come down like that, it's always going to be more entertaining. But if it's like someone's got it kind of wrapped up and it's very hard for them to lose, then it might lose that kind of shine on what it was. But this came down to the last couple of holes and it was fun.
Yeah. So they've now been three multiple-time Race to Dubai winners. So Westwood joins Rory McIlroy and Henrik Stenson on 3 and 2, respectively, there on the list. So yeah, I really enjoyed watching the ceremony end of that as well. What do you call that thing that they gave Matthew Fitzpatrick? It's like a staff of some sort. I don't know what you'd call it.
A pimp stick.
A pimp stick. Oh, that's a good one.
I staff. Like that. Staff.
I like the pimp stick. No, pimp staff. It is.
I didn't see it, but that pimp stick has put something in my head. So I'm going to have to go and Google it now. Yeah. I'd call it a trophy. I'd call it a trophy, I think, Steve.
So many things. Jafar in Aladdin has one of those, doesn't he? I don't know.
There was some pretty cool behind-the-scenes footage of Matthew Fitzpatrick receiving calls and text messages on his phone whilst waiting for the ceremony to begin. And I think he was on the phone to his parents and they were asking him to do, you know, FaceTime. But he's like, oh, I can't. I've got to go over to the ceremony. It's about to start. You know, his majesty is there. Like, I can't leave him waiting. Like, that's how prestigious, obviously, they feel that to be. I didn't quite get that sense throughout the tournament. But, yeah, that was pretty cool seeing it.
He looks like the Pope. I just Googled it. He looks like the Pope. It's like a staff. Is it a staff?
That's what we said, yes.
Pimp stick. Yeah. Damn right, he looks like a pimp stick. Yeah.
Yeah, imagine walking down the street with just that or like going to a fancy dress.
I hope the music they played was Hit Me With Your Rhythm Stick.
Hey, guess what? Christian Bezuidenhout came 7th in the Race to Dubai, DP.
It's Bezuidenhout.
It's Christian as well, so...
Steve, I'll tell you, he's our linguist.
Oh, absolutely, I am.
But how good is it to see Lee Westwood take that out at the ages? That's what, again, I love about golf. Yeah, how many years it's been since he won the last Race to Dubai? A decade ago, or whatever it was, over a decade ago, and it's just, oh, I love that about golf.
2009 it was, and then it was another 10 years or 9 years behind that one that he won, the first one. I think it was 2000, 2009, and 2020.
So, yeah. What a career. Yeah. I love Lee Westwood.
47's not old, Nate. That's our demographic. They're the people that listen to us.
That's your demographic.
maybe moving into the next week's worth of tournaments. So this last weekend we had the CME Group Tour Championship in the LPGA. So Jin-Young Ko took it out this week after coming second in the US Women's Open, winning by 5 shots over our own Hannah Green and Se-Young Kim. Happy birthday to Hannah as well. Good birthday present for you. Tied second. She was pretty emotional on Sunday as well.
Hey, you know, we interviewed Hannah Green.
We did indeed. If you haven't heard that, go back through our episode list. Don't go too far back because it's pretty cringeworthy sometimes. But yes, jump in there, have a look. We had an interview with Hannah. She was actually really cool to chat with. First major winner on our podcast. So yeah, was awesome. NZ's Lydia Ko also came in and tied for 5th. Minji Lee tied 13. Catherine Kirk tied 23. Sarah Kemp tied 53. Any highlights from you guys at all?
I think it's awesome for Hen to kind of end the year on that note and take home tied second. But crazy, the split, 1.1 million to win. Tied second gets you 209,000. So nearly $1 million difference between first and second, which is crazy town. But awesome to see a finish like that. It should be disappointed about her third round. The 71 was a kind of at the higher end on that day and dropped it down. But to get back and fight back for that 67 today and on, yeah, so... it's good to see Hen finish in that way. So Minji was there as well, and she putted lights out round three. If she can find that putting, she'll just kill it next year. She's just on the verge of just having a massive breakthrough and a massive run.
Yeah. It's been a big year for her.
Massive. It's been a big year for her. Same Catherine Kirk, massive year for her. It's the girls have been just killing it over there. So, it's just awesome to see.
All right, and how about the PNC Championship? So JT and his old man, Mike Thomas, or MT, as I like to call him, took it out this year in his first appearance at the tournament. Biggest thing to come out of the weekend, though, has to be Tiger and Charlie.
Like, biggest thing, literally every single Facebook or Instagram golf group just had the two of them on their posts. Like, I was scrolling through a feed and I thought that I'd accidentally kind of just like clicked on a hashtag of them two or something like that. And I was like, this is ridiculous, but I loved it. I was all for it. As a dad as well, I just thought it was so good to see an 11-year-old, and how much he striped it as well was just insane. And he's fist pumped today and just the whole thing. I could have, they showed mainly them the whole time, and so they should have. That's what everyone wanted to see. Some people think it's overkill, but yeah, insane.
He shot his first eagle in round one, first eagle ever, Charlie did. And yeah, that's across the world. That's footage that's going to be there for eons. Charlie was
just his mannerisms. It was crazy just how much like his daddy is. The mannerisms, the fist bumps, the looks, the standing there with the putt, like the lean, like it was just insane. And he just striped a drive. Dad wasn't even having a drive. Charlie was teeing off first, and he just give Dad the thumbs up, and Dad would just walk going, well, no matter if I strike one, I'm not out hitting my son, who's 150 yards up the fairway. So, like teeing off. So it was just, it was crazy. And the him and JT mixing it up and having a laugh, and he was taking the piss out of JT, and JT was taking the piss out of him. So, you know, it was just so cool to watch. And I've just found out, DP, they do get paid, they get money, but they have to be professionals to take that cash. So first prize was $200,000. So it's $100,000 each if they're both professionals, which Mike and JT are. So they would have taken 100 grand each. So Tiger, what did they end up finishing? They finished seventh. So seventh, the payout was 47,000. So Tiger takes half of that, which, you know, I'm sure he doesn't need.
So what happens to Charlie's half?
I'm sure he's not short of a quid.
Sounds like you've done a half a job. You've done half a job, mate.
Well, what happens when amateurs don't get paid out in normal tournaments? It rolls down.
Does it? Is that right? You're just talking out your ass.
No.
Oh, you almost sounded convincing there. Your eyes gave it away. I want to play poker with you.
That no one can see biggest, my eyes. All right.
But I can. That was the biggest tell.
Charlie was the youngest to ever compete in the PNC. And he absolutely played some phenomenal golf. Did we really expect anything different from Charlie, though? Like, he's destined for, he's got some big shoes to fill, but he's destined for greatness.
I was super worried, right? You hear, like, everyone's thinking maybe in a couple of years' time this will happen. For Tiger to kind of put him in that limelight at 11 years old obviously shows the confidence he had in his son. But there was worry there. I mean, you look at what happened with Steph Curry and the shit that was given to him about playing and playing rubbish, and he's off plus one or scratched or whatever. So for Charlie to do it, if Charlie went out there and just shanked it all over the place, it could have been an interesting turn of events. So I was worried that he was going to, you know, I've never seen Charlie play before. I've heard that he's a good golfer, and I've, you know, seen some videos of his swing, but to be that consistent over the 2 days was insane.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I think it's pretty impressive that just the attitude they seem to have. What'll be interesting is when he goes into like individual tournaments and the pressure and he starts to have a bad round or fail, what the media circus could potentially do to him. Because I think he's pretty protected at the moment. No one's going after an 11-year-old kid, and look, it looks like he's got the game to do it. But it could go either way, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
You look at John Daly's son. when he starts to make tournaments and you know, get on the nationwide or the .com or the whatever bloody it's called these days.
He's been recruited to a college recently as well now. So
yeah.
Yeah, he's not far off it though. I saw some good footage of that just on John Daly and his son there as well, and Junior. Saw some pretty cool footage of him talking through a range session around, you know, hitting a certain shot. And he's a feel player, just like his dad is, you know, just feels where he wants to hit it and it goes there. Like, it's not a technique situation where he goes, all right, if I stand like this and I go more outside in, then it's going to card or whatever. Like, he's just a feel player, he's a natural drawer of the ball. Doesn't have the outlandish swing as his dad does, but yeah, he's destined to for some big things as well. But the next generation of golfers coming through from pros. So what are you doing there?
Yeah, and
you're combing your beard that you don't have. What's going on there?
I thought I could see a rogue hair. I was just trying to pick it out. Sorry, Nate.
Really interrupting. I was about to say how much of a good point you brought up, but now I don't want to.
Me? Yeah. I always got a solid point.
But like you look at like Bill Haas and, you know, being Jay Haas's son, like that, the pressure, I guess, back in that generation wasn't there as much because of the media and social media and everything. So it's now a whole heap more that they're going to have to contend with and deal with. So yeah, it'll be interesting what happens with Charlie, because Charlie will be, there'll be more stuff out there about him than, you know, anyone in the top 100, like golfers. Like, there'll be more pressure on him than some of the golfers that are out there now that are on the tour, and he's 11 years old. Yeah. So yeah, it'll be I can't wait to see what happens. I just hope that he enjoys it, and I think that Tiger's trying to influence him and you know, take that on and say it's just about enjoying it. But you know, obviously they're both killers at heart, and he's going to be a killer like his dad.
Yeah. It's interesting that professional sport and what age you get kids, because I think I saw something on the socials about Rooney's son signing for bloody Man United.
Yeah, yeah.
And how old is he? He didn't look like he was a day over 9 or 10 or something.
Yes, yeah.
And I mean, already signing him to a professional contract at that age is absolutely insane. Now, I just hope that someone like Charlie doesn't get pressured or that sort of shit happens.
Because same age, 11 years old as well.
Yeah, that's just silly that they're doing that. Like, I mean, yeah. I'm sure Rooney's got $1 squillion in the bank, as Tiger would. So that sort of sponsorship deal, does it really need to occur at that age? I don't know.
I guess the other thing I thought as well, Tiger probably knows best that Charlie needs to probably be blooded and exposed to this world now, and he's probably ready for it, and you know, just to get him used to it. And Tiger even said it's like him playing at Medina or wherever they play, like with others, and he's played with pros. Charlie's been around that his whole life, so I guess he's way more accustomed to it than, you know, our kids would ever be. It's a completely different
and it would have been there a fair bit, you know, through victories for his dad and everything. Like, you see when he got his first victory back on the PGA Tour, hugging his son, like that kind of stuff. He's been around media for a long time, so hopefully that holds stead for him as he progresses through, hopefully, what will be a long professional career for him.
It's, no difference to the royal family, is it? Prince Harry never did it, stepped a foot wrong, so it'll be the same thing, you know?
That's why I take DP Jr. over to the golf club every weekend and blood him and make sure he gets used to the fame and the pressure of being my son. Yeah.
He's got a lot to live up to, so.
He's been working on his shanks though, so he's getting there.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
More out of the hosel? Just more out of the hosel, mate. Come on.
Call it out. I say it's just a hosel fade, mate. You'll be right.
That's right.
Hosel fade. I've not heard that one. That's a good one. All right, well, that's a round the grounds, a wrap up of the.
We didn't even talk about Justin Thomas at his dad at all.
They won the tournament, but the big story out of the weekend was Tiger and Charlie, really.
100%.
Bernhard Langer has won it like 3 times or something, that tournament. Did you see that?
He had his oldest daughter playing with him this tournament.
See, the shark was there with some loose shorts on.
No, was he?
Like just well fitted shorts, like proper shorts. Like they weren't too tight.
Yeah, okay. Is that you trying to hint that he might have a big package?
I don't know. Mate. You were talking about his dog with a bone.
Chevy's his son, that's all I'm saying. Steve O, where are we going next?
All right, getting into GDA group highlights. So no tipping over the last couple of weeks. We've had a bit of a break until we get back into PGA tournaments.
Just a shout out there, Steve. Just a shout out. We do acknowledge we missed a mad opportunity to tip on the Women's Open, and yes, that won't be overlooked next time. I'm led to believe by the
not
king.
Not at all. Yeah, not at all. So we definitely need to get involved with those, with the women's majors. I think is probably the most important thing there. We get them into the in the GDA Tour tipping. But yeah, no tipping over the last couple of weeks. But thanks still to the Golf Factory and Birds of Condor for your support. Post of the week, gents. Any posts of the last couple of weeks from you guys?
Oh, it's got to be Paul Bevan today saying that he hit a par four in two shots. He got on the green in two shots, which is an awesome feat. No, I think I did have a chuckle about Paul's post, but seeing a few of the comments in there, Paul's coming back after 20 years away. He's off a maximum handicap and he's 67 years old and he's just stoked to be hitting a par four and two, which I guess sometimes we can take what's the word I'm looking for? We can take
for granted.
For granted. Sometimes, you know, being able to hit greens in regulation once every 18 holes.
So yeah. Nate, well, Steve O and I were talking when you were off playing Grindr or whatever. What were you doing?
The guy next door, the Grindr guy. Yep.
Did he swipe right on you, or what did he do? Anyway, Steve O and I were talking.
That's why I moved here.
About that whole thing about no laying up, right? Don't lay up on a par five. You got to go for it. But technically, because I'm not long, right? It's not really laying up. I'm going for it. I just physically can't get there. So is it still laying up? Like,
no.
Yeah, it's a good term to. Yeah.
I'm not laying up. I'm just not going to get there.
The laying up would be taking a shorter club than what you could use. That, like you'd be hitting driver off the deck for your second shot, and you still may not make it.
That's right. I'm laying up with a 3-wood to 100 meters short. I mean, I'm going for
correct.
It.
Correct. Yeah, that's what I'm going for.
Up. But yeah, I'm going for it, but I'm hitting 3-wood, and it's going to end up about 85 off the front.
I'm going to step on this 3-wood to get to the 100 mark.
But yeah, I just feel like sometimes we do take for granted, we get the shits about our own golf game because we came in with something that somebody else would be stoked with. And that's what always kind of reminds me about my round at the end. If I'm really disappointed about a round I've had because I've overshot my handicap, one of the little things I'll just be like, look, there is a lot of golfers out there that would love to have the round I've just had. So don't be too hard on yourself.
My old man, sort of testament to that, like as he's sort of just gotten older and older, he's just lost distance. And he keeps saying to me, I don't want to play my home course anymore because I keep remembering what I used to be able to do there.
Yeah, that would be really hard. He
can no longer do it. But truth to him, though, and a big shout out to my old man, he beat his age a few weeks ago at Foster Golf Course. So my dad's, 73? And he beat his age. It is a par 68, I think, Foster. He beat his age at the course. And it's a similar way. He just hits it down the center. He may not make par fours in two, but he hits it down the center. He'll get it close enough and can chip up and putt in. He's phenomenal around the greens. But, beat your age, mate. That's something on the bucket list.
Definitely, I beat something, but it's not my age. So my post of the week was Paul Williamson golf.
I was just going to say, if no one says this, I'm going to go.
He created a poll, which was what would be the best golf gift you could get under the tree this year? Add your own. Let's see what you've got. Now
you like the Guinness one, don't you?
You're round and Augusta one, right? But the one that was added by Mick Innes to punch one member clean out per week without any consequences. He's got five votes.
That is, yeah, right. Like, and they're all members at your golf course.
No. Oh, maybe they are. But it got more votes than 20% more fairways. And yeah, more votes than a new set of Titleist T200. So, anyway, I think that was a bit of a laugh.
For that additional input to punch one member clean out
per week. I think it could work out if you're member of our page or member of the golf course.
I think member of the golf course.
Actually, I think I know. I know we're Mick's a member, but I won't say it. But yeah, I probably wouldn't mind punching a few of the members at his golf club out as well.
Oh, how's the ones that didn't get a vote at all? No more shanks, professional coaching, better group of mates to play with, free drinks from the cart girl all year. But yeah, punching a member clean out one per week without any consequences got five. That's brilliant.
Yeah, that was my post of the last 4 weeks or however long it's been since we did this.
I don't think this one would top it, but I'll throw it in there anyway. But the King threw a post in there last week. He recounted one of the shittest experiences he's had on a golf course, where he played with a junior in the seniors comp, and this junior was swearing left, right, and center, throwing clubs, having hissy fits. And he couldn't do anything to sort of curb the kid's enthusiasm, and having digs at other members, you know, all the gear, no idea, which is, I've heard that call many times, but from a junior, do you think it's just straight out disrespect, gents?
Yep.
As a pretty teacher, simple answer,
as a school teacher, I'm not surprised, but as a golfer, it's something that you don't want to see on the golf course. And I guess that just comes back to, you know, making sure that the kids are taught etiquette from an early age on the golf course, whether that be by the parents that take them out there or, you know, the pro. Like, it's definitely not as just on the pro. Like, that's he can't control that, but if there is a report made or a warning made, then maybe that pro, I know if it happened to us, I know that our pro would say, hey, like, he'd come at it from a different angle and he'd be like, let's play a round together so I can give you some help out there on the course and stuff. And he'd probably just play around with him and probably give him some tips, but also probably teach him some etiquette along the way. And I think it'd be the best 4 hours kind of ever spent for that kid.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, growing up as a junior, I saw all the different attitudes out there possible. And I think a lot of kids are a product of their upbringing. It got me thinking, Hinako Shibuno in the LPGA, she bows before she hits her first shot in every single round, as a means to honor the course and the ability and privilege to play golf. Like, she's carrying that through into professional golf. They learn that in Japan from a very young age. Any similar behavior you guys have seen on the golf course from a junior or onto the contrary, any exemplary examples? Look,
maybe she's Steve up for a spot on the fairway on the first to land it.
It's a tough one, Steve, especially involving juniors. Because, I mean, as a parent, I mean, if I knew my kid was doing that, I'd give him a good clip around the ear and a size 9 up the backside. Like, yep, he said, he lost his card and then bullshitted to him and said he'd put it in when he hadn't, walking, throwing clubs.
Yeah, like, that's,
it wouldn't have lasted. I wouldn't have got to 18 holes. I would have made the turn and probably thrown him into the lake or something. I don't know.
Can I just put this out there?
Yeah.
He was playing with the King. Like,
okay. Yeah, actually. See where you're going there.
There might be two sides to this story, just quietly.
Can I just say, this isn't the most embarrassing thing that happened to the King on a golf course. He whiffed the first at Tookley once.
Yeah, that was...
There's... there's ways to act on a golf course, and obviously the King saw the worst of it. But I don't know if I worry that it's a younger generation thing coming up that may be something that we see more of and hear more of, and it does worry me.
Yeah. So
there's a difference between resilience and respect, though, Nate. I think
100%.
Like, resilience is how you respond.
Yeah.
Respect is your general demeanor. And look, we're not picking on this kid. This is something that the Bales, the King, has experienced and he's brought to our light. I've played with a whole bunch of juniors that have been fantastic, you know, a bit of fun, they have a laugh, exactly. They got the right spirit, the right attitude. It's more the elite ones, the ones that really put too much pressure on themselves, I think. And that's where the resilience part comes in, eh, Nate? With it's just their resilience to that adversity of hitting one bad shot, just. But the other stuff about respect, about losing a scorecard, like, that's bullshit.
Yeah, that's the part that really got me. Yeah, that really got me. Lost the scorecard and told me he'd entered it into the computer at the end of the round without getting me to sign it. I need to find out later from the pro it wasn't entered at all and couldn't be found. Like, that's just complete lack of integrity, really. So, yeah, a lot of comments that sparked as well. So
Western Sydney as well, mate. So it's rough out there.
Yeah,
it's almost as bad as the Northern Beaches.
Oh, don't! This is no C word.
I told you I was going to drop the C bomb.
Yeah,
Christmas
isn't far away. all right, well, let's get into our own games. We've probably got a couple of weeks to catch up on here. Is there anything notable to write home about, gents, from your own rounds over the last couple of weeks? Brought to you by Cobra Puma Golf. How are the one legs going, actually?
I didn't have a bogey on the front nine this week, but I had four double bogeys and two birdies and three pars.
No.
So, look, I feel like that's improvement. I'm trying to play bogey-free, but four doubles. But, no, I just – my biggest takeaway at the moment with those clubs is that driver, that speed zone driver, I cannot get over how hot that thing is and how far it is going when I'm getting onto it. It's literally 30 meters past my old driver, which is just ridiculous. And all the other boys that I'm playing with are saying the same, and they play with me every week. And I'm not doing anything different. So that speed zone driver, I don't know if it's the shaft that's in it as well, the hazardous smoke shaft, which I love as well. But yeah, still getting used to the 3-iron, 4-iron, 5-iron. Other than that, sweet. Feeling the club, the wedges around the greens. But yeah, 31 points this week. I didn't play the week before. It was wedding videography day. So, but I'm ripping in this Christmas, this holidays. There's going to be a bit of golf played. DP, how's your one length going? Are they sleeping inside the house or outside the house?
They're in the garage. I haven't played. Last week I had a wedding I attended. And hey, I got the boogie on the dance floor. That was good.
How good is the dance floor back open?
Yeah, big shout out to Pup and Liz. I know Pup's a listener of the pod. I didn't put a card in the wishing well, but hey, don't tell him.
Sign Pinnacle coming for the both of them for their wedding.
I had no cash. Who has cash these days? You can't. Oh, can you Osco money? Like, they should have a wishing well with a freaking FBOS card. Yeah, you should just be able
to tap. You just tap and go. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Get in there, you got to tap.
Mate, there's a market in this. You 100%. And I. Fucking the wishing well, the electronic wishing well.
Yeah. Anyway, that could be an added bonus to your wedding videography, Nate.
Yeah, 100%. That's why it's an add-on offer. Yep. Done.
I want DP, royalties. I want royalties. But I took the clubs because Aqua Golf, Hunter Valley Aqua Golf. Now let me tell you, I got some feedback from the clubs whilst hitting them off the mat. I think I got to adjust the lie angle, the 4-iron, digging the heel in. I think I got to toe down them. Got to toe down them. So I'm going to fiddle with that. I'm going to get in the pro shop and see if we can put the toe down a degree or two and see if that's going to help me. Because I was knuckling the old balls. My forearm was only going as far as the 7-iron. So I reckon it's the lie angle.
Yeah.
So you can see off the, you know, when you hit them off the mat, all the green shit stays on the bottom. So, yeah. So I'm going to fiddle with that. So I haven't had a round and didn't play this week. Christmas party after Christmas party after Christmas party. So I'm itching to get out there, but this weather looks shite. So,
yeah. Annoying as this weather at the moment.
And
it's wet down there, boy.
Yeah, mate, pissing me out. And we've got four temporary greens in, so that's never fun. So the boys are talking of boycotting and going to somewhere else. They played on Saturday and they just said, nah, don't waste your time. Which is, I hate that. Like, can we get onto a rant?
Yeah, go for it.
Freaking hate temporary greens. Like, and then the boys were saying, and you normally, you know, they mow it down. Like, and our fairways are pretty good, right? So, but then they've mowed the temporary green in the fairway. So then all the runners on the grass come into play and you can't putt. And it's just a shit fight. You're better off, the boys said, they better off just putting the hole in the fairway somewhere, not mowing it down and just going, okay, putt it in. But
we'll just have a circle, and just inside that circle is a two-putt rule. Just plus two. Get it inside this circle on the fairway, plus two, move on. Don't bother about leaving it up to a chance for putting on shit like that.
I'm with you. I love the two-putt rule. I'm thinking.
But somebody posted it. Somebody made a shout out and had a kind of crack at Camden Lakeside on our page maybe a couple of weeks ago, and just said that they got out there and then there was temporary greens, this and that, and weren't told about it. They rang up to book. They got there heaps disappointed. And we've talked about this. Biggest pet peeve is a club not telling you that the greens are cored or there's temp greens in or anything like that. So, yeah, it sucks.
Big shout out though. Cypress Lakes apparently is in good nick. Someone put that on the page today, so I might even try and get up there.
Yeah.
Problem is that all those courses at the moment, and that's we'll probably succumb to that, was the high traffic, heaps of people playing golf, trying to get tea times anywhere, especially in these holiday regions, is pretty tough. So, but I want to get in a sneaky round here while there is temp greens, because maybe I can get there in two, because one of them's the par five.
Shorter, obviously. Well.
Steve, you had a hit?
Never lay up. Had a hit. Kicked off a mini tour with the crew on the weekend. So we're doing a four-round tour of the coast over the holidays with about 14 guys. So in a best two stable foot scores wins style comp. We had two groups playing in round one at my local, and I'm currently sitting second after a round of 35. So not awesome, but not bad all the same. Shout out to my mate Reiner, who shot one over off the stick at Gossie and is sitting in first place after having 41 points on that. So he had a putt for par on what's the ninth, but his last hole for the day to go even on the card, and missed it.
Big Coinda member, mate. He's ripping it up.
Yes, yeah, he's playing some awesome golf at the moment. He's down to a handicap low of 4.5 for him. So he played off 6 at Gossie on the weekend. So, 4.5, I think he's stitching himself up at the moment. He's playing some good golf and deserves that handicap all the same.
Doing it for the lefties too.
Doing it for the lefties too, I know. Yeah.
Hey, Nate.
Yeah. Oh, I played some Acre golf as well.
Fuck up. I don't want to hear about it. I'm disappointed.
Give us a shout out for the the Witten Malthouse. Go on.
I'm dead set ringing them, Nate. You used your own club. That's, you break the rules.
I ring in and say I'm Nate Paul. Nate Paul, we call it. I want my $200 voucher.
I'll tell you what, it looks pretty piss easy, and I'm handy with the 60. I'm handy with the 60. It's almost worth the drive out there to get.
Oh, I tell you, when you finally come out here, we are going out there and we'll spend thousands of dollars trying to get this in again. If no one's seen of just a new video that we put up, I put up on the Facebook page and also on our YouTube channel, there's about to be a heap more video content coming soon. So make sure you subscribe so you get the notifications for that. But we've just had this new hospitality venue, malt house, distillery, whiskey distillery, food venue, accommodation, and they put a big lake in there and decided to throw some aqua golf targets in there, and we don't have a driving range anywhere, so people are going far and wide just to have a little chip at the aqua green and at the aqua golf. And you got a couple of targets in there, and if you get it in the target, you win a $200 night's accommodation or a $200 voucher or a $100 voucher, depending on the target. And yeah, made a video of hitting it out there, and may have used the Cobra Mim wedge, and you'll have to watch the video and see how we went. But awesome venue out there, and I was out there yesterday just for lunch, and I saw a guy, I reckon, put $300 worth of balls through the Aqua Golf trying to win the $200 voucher. And he was not going to let this thing beat him when I left. And he said, I don't care how much I'm going to have to spend, I'm going to get this. And he hit the target that many times, but just didn't get it to go into the funnel in the middle. So good fun out there. Good fun. Good video. And enjoyed doing the video out there. Good people out there at the Malt House. So,
yeah. Nate, how do they confirm it? Where does the funnel go?
So the funnel go is a little net that just sits like at the bottom of the target. So you'll actually see can't get the video away, but if you hit it in the middle, you'll see the ball drop down in with the other balls. So they do a count in the morning. They're like, all right, two balls are in red, one ball's in yellow, one ball's in blue. They must go out there once a week or something and grab them out of there. But basically, you go over and you say, yep, I got it into the red target, and they'll just confirm that there's an extra ball in there. So it catches it. It's pretty cool. So,
YouTube, Golf Days Australia. My son had a crack at me today, actually. He goes, you guys have got more subs than I do.
Hey, next year, big year. We're going to have lots of subs this time next year. Don't worry. I'm telling you.
Yeah. How many we got? How many we got, Steve?
Oh, heaps. Double figures.
Yeah.
Double figures. Yeah. Yep.
Double figures. Don't worry. So plenty of good content coming up, boys. Seriously, I'm excited about some videos. I wrote the other day of all the videos we've got to do, and don't worry, Out of Bounds, Tassie, Coinda Waters, episode one, very close.
We're calling it foreplay. Foreplay.
Oh, the episode one. Yes, that's right. Yes.
Episode one's called foreplay.
Listen to the last episode, yes. Yeah. Jai's hanging for it as well. Jai must be just waiting for it to come out.
Did he make the intro? He made the intro, didn't he, Jai?
He did make the intro. There's the intro.
Spoiler. There's a spoiler.
Yeah, the intro's there. There's an intro with a bit of highlights of the year that's been, and Jai caps it off with a drained 3-wood from off the green. Has he? I'm hoping people can't see it's dry and actually think it's me. That's what I was
saying. Oh, I can hear. We can hear you in the in behind the camera. That's the giveaway.
Yeah. It does the mic drop with the 3-wood? It like just throws the club as well. It's great.
Yeah, that was good footage. All right,
it's bullshit, Steve. I think it's CGU or whatever they call it.
CGI.
That's the one. It's not real. It's not real, is it, Nate?
Like your putter throw makes the intro as well.
I saw that. It was the putter throw, isn't it? I'm like, you are kidding me.
Golf Days Pro YouTube, get on there.
All right. Anything else to talk through in tonight's episode, gents?
Yeah. Do we throw to Dickie Mercer now, or what's the go?
No.
We haven't mentioned
Dickie. It's not quite ready. Is
this the
Dickie?
I'll get to it.
This is going to be a Christmas special.
This will be a Christmas one. This will be a gift from Saint Nate to our listener population out there. So, next up, the next episode that we'll be recording for you guys will be a look back, a Christmas special, a look back on the year that was 2020. We'll have a look through and chat through a heap of things that happened this year, including a lot of our interviews that we've done throughout the year with some of the best Aussies and
he's gone, Nate. He's gone again.
This is our chance. Every week
every episode. It's like, I don't know what happens. It's awesome. He's just frozen.
But normally he comes back within like 5 minutes. Yeah, 10 I know. This is the longest we've had, DP.
Yeah, I don't know. There's more chance. Oh, he's gone.
Can you hear me yet?
He has left the building. There he's back.
Steve-o.
And I'm plugged in as well. Like, I'm not, it's not like, oh my God, that was, where did I get to in that one? That was brilliant.
I don't know. Looking back at Australian, the people we've interviewed, the Aussies, the UK,
Yeah, how good is technology when it works? But yes, it's going to be a cracking episode. We're going to go right back through 2020. Some of our GDA advice and discussion group highlights as well. And yeah, going through some of the interviews. We'll also have a look at and talk about some of the big wins from this year. So big PGA or LPGA tournament wins this year, and talk through, you know, our favorite golfers through the year. I know who Nate's will be, but you've got to pick a female as well there, Nate.
Steffi Kay.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, so it's going to be a cracking episode, and there'll be a gift at the end of that episode. But yeah, it's been a cracker of a year, and I'm looking forward to sitting back and recording that one with you gents with a couple of session set ales.
Hey, for those that are listening, we're about to record it in 2 minutes once this episode finishes. So I'm just going to spoil the illusion. We are back-to-backing tonight, so... Let's get going, because I want to get to this Christmas episode, because it's going to be good, and we're going to tie that little Richard Mercer interview in a bow and give it to everyone for Christmas.
Yeah. That'll be fun.
Yeah. I reckon there's more chance of us organising a golf day than this Dickie Mercer making an episode. Can we call it St. Dick's if he makes it? You know, like instead of St. Nick's?
I like it.
Yep. All right, guys. So keep an eye out or an ear out for that one to drop just in time for Christmas.
It'll still be alive by the time we drop this.
Stay safe, enjoy golf, and we'll see you or listen to you, or you'll listen to us at the next episode in our Christmas special.
You're off.
All sessions there. Let's go. I've got nothing. DP, say what you need.
I don't say shit. My entry is play the music, Steve.
Play the music.
Play the music.
We're three gold tragics. We're weekend.